You should wait until it is his birthday, though, so it's a surprise.
I'm going to. So, Brian, okay. You didn't hear this. Music is a universal language that has the power to heal, inspire, and connect us across cultures and borders, from reducing pain and stress to boosting our immune systems and bringing people together. Music's impact on our lives is profound. Whether it's a timeless classic like the song you heard in the last episode, or a modern masterpiece, which, who knows, you may be hearing today, music is a vital part of our cultural heritage and powerful force for good in our lives. And that's why we have the Greatest Song You've Never Heard podcast. I am your host, Phil Anderson, along with the other host. We would call ourselves co-hosts. This is Chris Cochran. Which I now know I have the lyrics for today's song. Chris, how's it going today?
It is going famously. Thank you very much for asking, Philip. I just wanted to know, though, where's the scientific evidence that music actually boosts our immune systems?
So here's what I would submit.
Because
to
that
you.
Would mean rock and rollers should live forever.
Oh, no. It just means they live longer than they should.
Oh, said the Rolling Stones.
I was going to say, yeah, Keith Richards is, I think he's been passed away for a good decade, that they just prop him up on the stage. But talk about someone who's been really worn through the years.
Oh, yeah.
That's Keith Richards.
We, my wife and I, last night, as of the time of this recording, watched for the first time Complete Unknown. The new Bob Dylan movie with Timothy Chalamet.
Oh, we need to see that. I'm not a big Bob Dylan fan, but I want to see this movie big time.
Well, here's what I learned from this. One is that I'm a bigger Bob Dylan fan than I thought, because I've tried and want to get into Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
But I don't like Bob Dylan. And the problem is you can't like someone who you don't like. And I don't like his songs. I don't like his music. But having watched it, I was so like drawn in, and I realized it's a blanket statement for me to say I don't like. He's right. So prolific. You can't say you don't like any of his songs.
Yeah.
You just can't.
I'm right with you. I'm right with you. I've never liked his style, and I certainly don't like, it's kind of like Barbara Streisand in a sense, where you're like, She's got to,
I can't believe you just compared Barbara Streisand to a Pulitzer Prize winning poet.
Listen, Barbara Streisand is supposed to have this remarkably fantastic, glorious, angelic voice, but she's like, yeah, but I don't want to sing live. I'll only sing in a recording studio. And Bob Dylan, notorious, even on We Are the World, they stuck him in a booth by himself to record his little part there.
Yep.
And I guess I don't understand that sort of eccentricity, but it's a real thing. I just don't understand it.
Listen, Phil, when you've got that kind of talent wrapped up in one human being, it tends to come out in ways you weren't anticipating, and you got to control it by putting it in a box, else it gets all over everyone around you.
Hey, don't put baby in a corner.
No, absolutely not.
This brings up something. I was in Seattle about a month ago and went to where I thought was the Experience Music Project, which has now been changed to the Museum of Pop Culture.
Yep.
Something like that. And they still have all these great little hands-on booths. You can play guitars and drums. And my sister and grandson and brother-in-law and myself went into one of the booths, and I was playing a little bass. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, that's super cool.
Yeah.
That's super cool. I had a friend who was a comedian when the EMP project, which is what it used to be called, first opened. And I remember him doing a stand-up routine where he said, the Experience Music Project looks like Godzilla ate a Crayola factory, climbed to the top of the Space Needle, and took a dump.
That's exactly right. Do you realize, I didn't know this until I went there, it's supposed to mimic, not a dump, but a squished guitar.
Yeah.
I never knew that. I still looked at the model. I'm like, I still don't see it.
For those of you who've never been to the Experience Music Project, or now called Mopop, I would highly recommend it if you get a chance to go to Seattle. It's a really cool experience. There's a sci-fi museum there still as well, I think. And it's just such a great experience. It's basically Paul Allen's garage full of memorabilia that he'd collected over the years, and he put it in a museum, and it's really cool.
Based off Jimi Hendrix, his love of Jimi Hendrix. And there is still a Jimi Hendrix exhibit there. They used to have something called the Funk Blast. Oh, George Clinton was leading you through this thing. It was a ride. You'd sit in the seat, but the whole platform moved. It was phenomenal. They only ran it for three or four years, and then they got rid of it, which is too bad. One of the best rides. It would be the first thing I always went. You know, we had a family member, whatever membership, the first couple of years. Anyway, so there we go.
Can I make a quick correction before we move on to today's song? On our last episode, I talked about Vorman as the inventor of the guitar with no headstock. I was wrong. It's not Vorman. It's Steinberger. You know, those German names all sound the same to me because I'm a racist. So
you are so racist. God, a racy, racist Chris Cochran.
So before I get like feedback from our good friend Brian Page, which I know he's going to do that, I do want to say this. I happen to know that Brian Page's birthday is coming up very soon, and so we want to wish him a very happy birthday this month.
Happy birthday, Brian! Gosh,
he's turning the big 5-0 this month.
You know what? I'm going to send Brian a video of me singing happy birthday to him.
You should. You should wait until it is his birthday, though, so it's a surprise.
I'm going to. So, Brian, you didn't hear this. Matt Sparkman knows exactly what I'm talking about. He's been at the receiving end of one of my birthday videos.
I've been at the receiving end of one of your birthday videos, but the one that you do where you say, oops, sorry, I forgot your birthday, so I'll sing you a song anyway.
Yeah, that's called a belated, Phil's belated birthday song.
With speaking of belated, said,
that's right, belated.
We should jump into our song. Are you ready for today's song?
Oh, I'm so ready. I can't even stand it.
I can't wait to share this song with you because I think it is going to be one that is going to end up not only on the Phil and Shelley playlist, but maybe on the Phil I'm going to boost my own morale playlist.
Woo! I can't wait.
It's that level of good, yes.
Okay, do you want to set it up? Any setup other than the fact that it's going to be literally one of the greatest songs I've ever heard?
Nope, that's it.
Let's do it.
Run away from harm. Will you run back into my had all these moments pass us by.
One of the downsides of not knowing the song from my end, I don't know when it ends.
You don't know the song from your end in the hole in the ground? Is that how that one goes or something like that?
Yeah, different comment.
Okay.
Probably applicable here.
Yes.
I can't believe you played a repeated song. No, just
joking. No, I did not.
here's this song is a song I can see a worship team playing. And I don't have any clue if this is a worship song or not, but the chord progression is so much like what we used to play at church, that whole build up and then bring it back down and then bring it back up. I really like this song a lot. I found myself reflecting while listening to this song. Well, there's a mirror in front of me, so there's that. But sorry, my bad. I really liked it a lot. There is a mainstream song that this sounds so similar to.
Yeah.
And again, I hear it in my head. I know the song. I just can't think of it right now. But it's a lot. This is great. This one's got some depth, and it takes you on a journey, Chris. It takes you on a journey with a story, and the lyrics are great. The whole song is great. I really liked it a lot. Thank you.
Well, you know what a big lyric guy I am. So this song was one of those songs that it's funny because as I was, I've been listening to the song for the better part of 20 something years now. And it's always spoken to me, but I never really like sat down until this show and like read through the lyrics line by line. And the line that I just love the most is that we don't need to understand there are miracles. And I'm like, oh, this is such a profound thought that like, listen, there are certain things in life we just don't need to understand. It's okay that there are miracles that we just can't express or understand or account for.
Our human flaw is that we want to know more. We want to know why. And not to bring it back to church again, but I remember Pastor Mike, one of the things he said that really resonated with me is we just have to all come to the conclusion and understanding that we may not know everything on this side of heaven. And I'm like, gosh, that really can release a lot of stress and angst and pressure and all that comes with life. Right. And so we don't need to understand. There are miracles. Accept That's them true. How they are and embrace them and have gratitude about that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You want to learn a little bit more about this song?
Yes, I do.
All right, so the
song is Life is Beautiful?
It is called Life is Beautiful. And I think I have another song. Maybe it was from Embrace called Life is Beautiful or something along those lines. I think that's where I got confused. I know there was a song that's a similar title somewhere along the way. And I was literally the whole time, I told Phil before we started, I said, by the way, if we've done this song, you know, call me out on it. And I know he was hoping that he could do that, but he was not able to.
I try to throw it in right at the beginning of this reprise, but no. So
this song is called Life is Beautiful. It's from a band called Vega 4, V-E-G-A, Vega 4. They are a band from the UK. Two of the members are from Ireland, North Ireland, which are two different nations, and then one from New Zealand and one from, I want to just say the UK, like England or something along those lines. But interestingly about this song and this band, Vega 4 was signed in 2000 is when they signed their first label, and they released their first album in 2001 or two, time right around there. And they toured a ton and got a bunch of heavy promotion. The album was called Satellites. They did a ton of work on it, and for whatever reason, it did so poorly that they just literally were like, we don't even know if we're going to make it as a band. So they literally just put the band on hiatus and took a break until all their contracts ran out so that they could reform. And when they reformed, this is where it gets odd, they actually got a contract with Columbia Records in the UK and Epic Records in the US. And they decided to do a new album. It was called You. I'm sorry. The new album is called, I totally lost my train of thought here. I have it written down. You and Others. Sorry, was the name of the album. And when they released You and Others, it's such a good album. It's one of those albums that I've listened to 100 different times. This song, actually, if you've heard this song before, you would have heard it. Originally, it was on Grey's Anatomy soundtrack. Which, by the way, Grey's Anatomy has one of the greatest soundtracks for any show on television. If you just look up Grey's Anatomy soundtrack and just listen through the songs, they were playing Landon Pig and a bunch of other like really cool singer-songwriters and these kind of bands before anybody else was playing them. Now, and that's where I heard the song for the first time was on the Grey's Anatomy soundtrack. This song ended up being on One Tree Hill, what else was it on? The Ghost Whisperer, Raising the Bar. It was used a lot in TV because it's just such a great song. And after they did this album, they toured a little bit. And then in 2008, they broke up and they're never going to get together, play another song together. So
is the name of this album Satellites or You and Others?
You and Others is the name of the band. The album from this song. Sorry.
And what year did that come out?
2006.
You know, what's interesting is maybe Grey's Anatomy has been on television now for 25 years or something.
Yeah.
Because of the music they play.
Oh, it could be. It couldn't have anything to do with the fact that it's a soap opera.
It is a nighttime soap opera. We were into that early on and we see commercials and I'm like, wow, kind of like the NBA, they're still going, huh?
I know. I think that all the time whenever I see it too. And I'm like, and I think there's one or two original cast members who are still on there, which just blows my mind.
Yeah. It's got to be able to go that long. There's a lot of components. And I think you're probably right. I should probably look into some of those Grey's Anatomy's soundtracks. I'm guessing there's more than one. But start listening to some of the music on that because it is eclectic. And much like we talked about a few episodes ago, a song that will be good for a movie and as they piece together some time elements or a commercial or a TV show that people, you know, can hang their hats on and start looking up the different music. We have these apps. Remember Shazam? What is the one I use now is...
I use Shazam because it's built into my iPhone. And in fact, I have an accessibility shortcut where I can tap the back of my phone three times and Shazam will pop up and show me what's playing. And I use it all the time. But this is back in the old days when I used to have to I would hear a song on the radio or I'd hear a song on a commercial and I'd I don't know what that is. So you'd immediately go Ford commercial, 2020, blah, 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 blah. And then look for the song and you'd go through these forums of people talking about whatever was on, you know, anyway, that's how we had to do it in the old days, kids.
I know. Yeah, right, kids. I don't even have Shazam on my phone anymore. I have SoundHound is what I use. But Shazam used to have a limit on how many songs you could look up. Is that not the case anymore?
No, because it's built into the OS because it's owned by Apple now.
Oh, I like that. I'm going to have to do that. What I like about SoundHound is I will listen to a song. It'll tell me what it is, and it will automatically go into a SoundHound playlist on Spotify. So I don't have to remember that. So that's kind of fun.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, technology, you know, can't live with it, can't shoot it, but there you are.
That's true.
This is a really good song.
I love the whole album is good. If you like this song, you'd like the whole album because it all sounds like this. And one of the things I do love about this that I didn't get a chance to touch on is there's the guy who sings this, his voice, he has a specific accent when he sings that something about it, I just like go, oh, I'm so jealous of that. I wish I could sing like that because I like his voice so much when he sings. So anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out there for you. Oh, one other minor side note for you. This band actually got some publicity because the guitar player, his last name is Gainsford, he had an on-again, off-again romance with Scarlett Johansson.
Ooh. And Scarlett Johansson, of course, now is married to the guy from Weekend Update on SNL.
Colin Jost, that's right.
Colin Jost, who graduated from Harvard, or maybe went to Harvard. I'm not sure he graduated from. Yes, so we just heard the song Life is Beautiful from Vega 4. Off Vega the 2006 4. Album, You and Others. Vega, I wonder if that's where the car manufacturer, if they got their name Vega 4 off the old Vega.
I don't know, but I remember one of my first job after working in the food court, my first real job was at a Chevy dealership, and our shop manager drove a Chevy Vega.
We had a Chevy Vega in our house, and it is the least favorite car of my entire life, and I am not proud of this, but I had clearly it drove me to having an anger management issue because when it would just go and turn over and over and over and over, it wouldn't start, and so there's this dashboard where the glove compartment was. I would just hit it with my fist. I think I dented it. I was not a good person. I'm a much better person now.
Can I tell you a quick story about that?
Yeah.
So my first car was a 1974 Toyota Corona, not a Corolla, Corona. And the dashboard on it had split because it'd been in the sun so much. And my grandfather had given me this car and he put carpet on the dashboard. So I had shag carpet all over the dashboard because that looks better than a cracked dashboard. And it does. Choke on it, the automatic choke was broken. So he wired up a piece of plastic tubing and a piece of baling wire. And I could manually like open and close the choke on the thing when I was real. Anyway, I wasn't very mechanically inclined because I was, you know, 16. And it wouldn't start one morning and I was late for school and I was always late for school and I knew I was going to be in trouble. And I got so angry with this car that I kicked the front fender of this thing, not realizing that I was going to dent the thing because I was just a dumb kid, right? And I didn't realize they weren't made of steel. And so I kicked this car and put a big dent in the fender. My grandfather comes over later that afternoon to help me. And he walks around this car and he just very gently said, "What happened here?" And I said, "Well, I lost my temper and I kicked the car." And he goes, "You know, I used to have a bad temper." And I said, "Really?" And I've never seen my grandfather lose his cool ever. He goes, "Yeah, one time when I was 17 years old, I had this truck and I was so angry at the truck that I took a 5-pound sledgehammer and I threw it at the front windshield and it went right through the front windshield and cracked the whole windshield. And you know what I realized?" And I said, "What?" And he goes, "Getting angry only breaks things."
Yeah.
And then he just went about fixing my car.
Yeah.
And I tell you the truth, it was so impactful to me that I never lost my temper after that. I think I could count on one hand the times I've just lost my temper after that, if at all. Because it was so impactful on me.
Well, I have never seen you lose your temper. I rarely lose my temper. If I do, it's usually by myself. And then I check myself a little bit. 1974 Toyota Corona, you say?
Correct.
Mine was a 1973 Toyota Corolla.
For real?
For real. Paid $900 cash.
Wow.
Just saying.
I got mine for free because my grandpa gave it to me.
Well, that's the kind of grandpa you are. If you want to leave a comment that will cost you nothing, that will be free. See what I did there?
I did. Bad.
Seasoned professional I am. That's why I get paid the big bucks. Go to thegreatestsongyouneverheard.com. Leave a comment or on X Twitter and eventually we'll respond at GSYNH podcast, of course, on Facebook, as you already know, because we mention it every episode. Chris, this is a good one. This is a really good one. And I will remember that one song, and you'll be getting a text from me, and you'll go, oh, yeah, I do hear the similarities.
So, yeah, I can't wait to hear it. I would love to hear the similarities.
So anyway, with that said, we will see you next week on The Greatest Song You Never Heard. And go out and listen to some good music. That's all I can say.